Welcome, everyone, to episode 384 of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor, and this is another Hour 1 episode where I'm joined by a bunch of patrons to discuss a bunch of fun, hot-button topic, hot whatever. It's just music that we're talking about. It's a fun chat, it's a fun discussion. Find out more next.
I'm ready.
Let's do it!
All right, so this is kind of crazy. So I was looking to see if there was a podcast episode that needed to be released about a week ago. And for whatever reason, nothing was listed within the previously recorded episodes. So I spaced out and thought, hey, there's nothing out, you know, there's nothing. All right, cool. So I'm good for this following week or whatever. And I go to do graphics for what I thought was 384. And I saw that there were graphics for this very episode. So I've decided that I'm going to release both episodes, back to back. And hopefully you guys enjoy both. And I'm actually recording these host wraps after the ones that you're going to hear for the official 385, which is going to be As the Host with Jeremy Wellman. So this is a fun episode with a bunch of my patrons where we discuss the new Def Leppard single, Just Like 73, new solo albums from Tony Iommi and Phil Mogg, Andrew Freeman fronting Jack Russell's Great White, new Guns N' Roses material, Ghost releasing their film right here, right now. And Ed Ferguson gives us a review of the new Kerry King solo album, Hell I Rise. So these episodes are always fun. They're very therapeutic because we get together and we discuss a bunch of things that we love. Sometimes we don't love so much, but we help kind of spread the word on various projects, albums, and different things that are going on. And sometimes you go into discussion really not having anything to talk about, and then you hear someone else's perspective and you're off to the races, my friends. It's just that simple. So I do want to give a shout out to all my patrons here real quickly. Sean Richmond, Chris Sinzak, Tony Espin, Anthony Mackey, Ed Ferguson, Johan Edstrom, Metal Dan, Jose Ruiz, Chris Vaglio, Gabriel Ruiz, Brad Dahl, Mike Jones, Jeremy Weltman, Steve Hoker, and Steven Saylor. Thank you guys all for your support. Saw that Steve Hoker posted that it was our 10-year friendiversary on Facebook, which is cool. It is ridiculous that we've known each other for that long. Almost the entire length of me podcasting. I've been podcasting since 2009. So it's going to be 15 years shortly. So most of that, he and I have known each other. We'll be meeting him in a few weeks. Will be very cool to do so, to finally meet up with the mysterious Steve Hoker. Other episodes will be coming up soon. Hopefully I get them in the right order. Hopefully I number them correctly. I just need to get everything in row, get all the graphics done, and just set it all on autopilot and hope you guys enjoy the content that I've put together for you guys. I definitely had fun putting this stuff together, and if I were checking out other shows, it would be something that were worth my while. That's all I'm going to say. In any event, let me leave you and let the rest of the episode take over. Thank you, guys. See you. Welcome one and all to the June 14th edition of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor. Joining me from all around the world, we have Ed Ferguson in Kentucky. We have Jeremy Weltman in the UK, and we have Metal Dan in California. Hope everyone is doing well. Hope everyone that is watching or listening to the replay of this is also doing well. This is one of our hour one shows, so this is a straight up music discussion. We love having these. I love hosting these, and we always have some great chats about music that we love, and sometimes music we don't love so much anymore. But anyway, how's everyone tonight?
Fantastic.
Yeah, good.
Awesome. So, kicking things off here, a band that I think we all love their early beginnings, and their opinions and verbal diarrhea and just different things that they consider to be their more important albums and whatnot always drive me crazy. But Def Leppard just released a new single called Just Like 73. Which features Tom Morello on the track. And Jeremy, we've talked at length about their last release. Does this stray all that much from that last album?
No, it's very much a continuation, really, in terms of the 70s feel to that track. You know, they did quite a few on that the last album. It's I'm wondering why they've released a single as well again just now, because they've, you know, they'd actually just released that album. What was it? Was it last year? It's not that long ago, so it seems quite close in time. I actually liked it because there were three or four tracks on the last album that I liked, and they were the rockier ones. And this is a rockier song, and it was quite good. I'm not raving about it. I didn't think it was fantastic. It's not High and Dry or Pyromania or whatever. But I thought it was pretty decent. If they're going to go in that sort of 70s direction and play, you know, that's the style they want to do now, why not do a lot more of that sort of stuff and make it rockier and do a whole album of it? And then I think it'd be okay. So yeah, I thought it was better than I was expecting, given the fact that, you know, the last album was a bit of a letdown, really.
So did that single have all three guitarists on it, or did he replace Vivian or something?
Yeah, I think he only plays the solo on the track, which to me is kind of baffling, considering the fact that they do have Vivian Campbell and they don't really let him solo. They also have Mr. Hysteria, Phil Collin as well. And do we need Tom Morello on this track? Seriously? I mean, it's
only the name there, I think.
Yeah, exactly. But I think there's a lot of bands doing that at the moment. They sort of have guests on, and you know, it's like you say, it's to have the name on, but it's also just to do something a bit different with another person in the industry. And who knows? Maybe they're thinking of bringing out an album with a guest on each song. You know, doing a sort of bit of a slash and doing that. We don't know yet.
Well, they've done that already. Several times they've had people appear, and my guess is that they've called Taylor Swift, and at this point she's not returning their calls now because she's kind of established now a little bit more than they are. So, Dan, did you get to check this track out?
I did, only because you mentioned it as a bullet point. Otherwise, I probably would have skipped it. But now that I've listened to it, you know, it's a decent song. I listened to it again. I didn't notice on my first listen, Tom Morello. If he's there, okay, I'll try it again. Yeah, it's good enough. And it has that feel of the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah. It piqued my interest.
Yeah, it kind of, I listened to it and I'm like, this is a leftover of the last album. They chose between fitting another ballad on the album or putting something that sounded like the Suite on the album, and they went with the ballad instead. That's what it seems like to me. Okay, so we had talked about, Jeremy and myself, last week about things that were released in May. The audio version came out today, and we talked ad nauseum about the Black Sabbath box set that came out from the Tony Martin IRS albums. Well, now Tony Iommi is saying that he's going to be releasing another solo album.
Yeah.
Phil Mogg also from UFO has mentioned that he's releasing a solo album. Is it Phil Mogg and the Motels? Is that what the name is?
Mogg's Hotel. Mogg's Hotel.
Okay. Because I was going to say there was a fairly popular band in the 80s called the Motels. So it kind of, you know, caught me a bit off guard. I will say this. I did a considerable amount of yard work today, had my big playlist playing, and the track Wasted Again off of one of Iommi's solo albums that has Glenn Hughes singing on it came up, and I was like, this is brilliant, and I forgot about how much I really enjoyed this song. You just mentioned, Jeremy, the whole thing with Slash, with having all the different guests. To me, the greatest album that has different singers on each track is Iommi's Iommi album. I think the entire thing is great, in my opinion. The stuff he's done with Glenn Hughes, I think, is pretty good. There are some outstanding tracks, and then there are some kind of forgettable tracks. But I'm hoping that Tony, after so many years without releasing anything, that whatever he releases will be solid. Dan, do you look forward to a Tony Iommi solo album?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. And to have collaborators sounds great.
Okay. Ed, what would you look for in a Tony Iommi solo album?
I agree with you. That last one he did was good. So I'd be, you know, interested to hear him do something else like that again. I like that last solo record better than stuff like, you know, those Tony Martin era albums and, you know, what was it? Seventh Star. Was that the name of the record he did in 85? Yeah. I like that solo album better than that stuff.
Right. Yeah. Now that'll be interesting. He's heavily pushing because he just remixed one of those the last Tony Martin era album. He's actually
heard,
and he's kind of pushed the keyboards to the background, brought the guitars up, brought the drums up, brought the singing up, and the bass is pretty prevalent as well. Jeremy, have you gotten a chance to listen to that yet? I don't want to say much more.
No.
Okay.
All right. Not yet.
Hearing Cozy Powell the way that he sounds on that album is beyond amazing to me. So
that guitar friend of Ozzy's released that solo album, and what I heard of it mostly sucked, but the song with Ozzy on it was okay.
The Billy Morrison album?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's another thing with that. Because Billy is his, I guess, sponsor for AA. And that's how he got on there. And Steve Stevens is on several tracks because Billy is Billy Idol's second guitarist. So I'm assuming that the track Crack Cocaine that Ozzy sang on was one of the tracks that they'd worked on for one of Ozzy's solo albums. I mean, Steve Stevens had mentioned that to Mark years ago I'm talking metal, so I mean, I would imagine that that's what that is. But Jeremy, Iommi or Mog, which of the two would you be more looking forward to?
Do you know, I'm looking forward to both of them because both of their bands are now extinct. So I just feel that what they're going to do with both of these albums is they're going to have some riffs left over. They're going to have songs left over from the bands that existed before. So I'm thinking that they're going to be a little bit more UFO and a little bit more Sabbath, because I'm sure that Tony Iommi must have done a lot of Sabbath-y riffs and Sabbath-y songs, which he was thinking of using for Sabbath. They only made that 13 album. It's a long time ago now. So, you know, I just think, you know, it's going to be a good one. And the same with Mog, you know, he's a great singer. Obviously he's in his late 70s now. So, you know, he's in his last sort of time. He's going to be producing stuff. He's done a bit of blues in the past. He's done a little bit of softer stuff, but you know, I'm hoping it's going to be a little bit like UFO and, yeah, should be good.
So we're receiving a message in the chat now. What are the chances that this
is that's not what you were laughing about? I thought you were laughing at me.
No, well, there were two things that I was laughing at, because one was the message. Mm. And the second thing is, Jeremy, you're going to have to check out the episode that we recorded last night. And okay. And we discuss certain possibilities of things, which will be out in about 2 weeks. So
okay, I'm
I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it suspended for you.
Yeah, intrigued by that.
the Phil Mogg thing. I mean, obviously, I love him in UFO. I'd be curious. Okay. Thank you, Paula Pruitt, for your continuous comments here.
She's definitely a robot. It's an AI robot, isn't it?
Well, first message. I would never live with or anyone I couldn't drug test. Military. But I love AA environment. And struggle with alcohol my whole life. I mean. Excellent. Well, hope you get some help for that, Paula.
She does know this is a heavy metal discussion.
Yes, she came to the right place.
Phil Mogg, I was lucky enough to meet him. Yeah, I'm looking. Okay. I wanted this to be really good. I wanted his voice to shine and to have some really great tunes. I think I would look forward to the Mogg over the Iommi, but I'm not gonna blow off either, you know. What a voice!
We're gonna try a new feature out here, which is add to block list in chat. All right. Looks like it cleaned it up for us. Ed, does a Phil Mogg solo album do anything for you?
No, I don't know much about them and their catalog. I mean, you know, of course I'll listen to it when you put the videos up and I'll know then what I think of it. But okay. So I'll be interested to hear something new as always.
Okay.
That's cool. Just have a chip in there, Ed. I mean, if you've not really listened to UFO, there are a few great albums out there. And you like a lot of the early Def Leppard stuff. You like the melodic Def Leppard. You'd like UFO, I think. You need to step
in there. Yeah, and I'm not saying I haven't listened to them some. I have. Mm. But, yeah, I haven't spent enough time learning what's good. You'll maybe have to tell me what you think I would like.
Okay.
That'll help. Yeah.
Definitely Lights Out and definitely The Wild, The Willing, and The Innocent. Great album.
Good to know.
And Strangers of the Night is considered one of the greatest live albums.
I hear about that all the time. Yeah.
That's why I assumed you might have heard that, yeah.
Yeah. The I was going to say Side 2. I mean, Side 2 kicks off with Lights Out and then Rock Bottom with Shanker doing an extended solo, and that to me is probably my favorite rendition of Rock Bottom, but the greatest hits, let's be honest. All right. call this one of the most peculiar things that I've read in a very long time. So years ago, I got to interview Jack Russell when he released the first Jack Russell's Great White album. Due to legal reasons, there's Great White and there's Jack Russell's Great White. At the time, I think Jack Russell broke the record for saying, you know what I mean, the most amount of times in 40 minutes that I'd heard. Surprisingly enough, someone broke that last year in an interview that I did. So being puzzling as things are, Jack Russell's Great White has done a few shows now with Andrew Freeman on lead vocals. So there were two things that came to mind. First of all, if the band bears the name of the lead singer, how can you have a replacement singer in there? That would be like having B.B. King's Blues Band and having someone else, having Blue Saraceno as the guitarist. Second of all, Andrew Freeman was the lead singer of Great White for like 10 days before he, quote unquote, had scheduling conflicts and could no longer do any more shows. And that's where they brought the kid that's in the band now. That's when he came into the fold. So I don't recall anything like this ever happening. Ed, have you ever heard of a band that bears the namesake of someone?
No, this is a first.
Band? Yeah.
That is hilarious. Yeah.
This is crazy. Dan, what do you think?
So I followed the Whiskey A Go Go. They're out here in Hollywood, California. I think it was 2 weeks ago. His band was supposed to play, and they said, "Hey, unfortunately, Jack can't make it tonight. The band has to cancel. They're going to continue on with the support acts." And I thought, "Huh? Well, there's Jack again. I don't know. I haven't heard the news. I let Victor tell me the news most of the time. So I still don't know if he had a medical condition or what." So then I saw the bullet point today, and I was like, I kind of snickered and was like, well, I've seen Andrew Freeman show up at a few shows that I've attended over the years. I don't know why Roxanne, the band that I follow, they pull him on, probably the same label. He doesn't have a voice for, I don't know what he fits with. Well, I guess it's Dio Disciples, but that's a crazy story. I'm glad you brought it up. It's, I don't know if it's funny or sad or, you know, I have a long history of Great White. I mean, that's in my blood. Mm-hmm. Years ago, I had won that contest. And just briefly, they said somebody, I guess he was joking. The one of the showrunners said, "Hey," he said, "I need to go take Jack back to his hotel." And I paused like, oh, shit, really? And then I think they kind of, just kidding. We'll have somebody else do it. But for a moment that they got me, it's like, I was like, Jax looks a little fucked up. I don't know how this is going to go, I thought to myself. I shared none of this outside my head, but inside I was panicking. But that's that's Jack Russell. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I can't imagine him sounding very good with Great White. You know, the great Jack Russell, he's got that, you know, that kind of higher range voice, you know, like Fastway and some of those guys. Now Andrew, when I saw him with Last in Line, he was awesome doing that. But it's hard for me to imagine liking that voice, probably with Great White.
It doesn't fit. I wouldn't think so.
But there are other bands that have had other singers come in. I mean, we've had Iron Maiden, Bruce came in. We've had AC/DC, Brian Johnson, very different. So you can have different singers.
Mm-hmm. But not with the name in the band.
That's a different thing. Yeah.
I think you're right where they've brought people in, and Maiden has done it three times with having three totally different singers.
Bruce Dickinson, the solo show. And now tonight is Rob filling in. There we go. What is happening? Or this guy, that's weird.
Yeah. Do we think this is just for touring, or is it going to be recording as well? I mean, obviously, Great White. When was the last album? It's about 7 years ago or something.
Well, this is not. So Great White, the band, is on their own, and they had that kid singer, and they've been doing a tour across the U.S. and Great White is headlining, and it blows my mind. So they're going to be playing here next Friday at an arena. I'm sure half of it's blocked off. I don't know. I consider going, but again, Great White's the headliner with Vixen and Slaughter. They must make money enough to do it. And it's where a hockey, the Anaheim Ducks play. So seriously? Go figure. Seriously, it's next Friday.
They're playing at the Anaheim Pond?
And Great White is the headliner.
Well, but here's the other thing there. They are the hometown act because they are from Anaheim, right?
This tour has been going across the United States with Slaughter. Sometimes Stephen Piercy joins them. He's been on the East Coast with this tour. This thing's been running its course for a few weeks now, here and there.
It all depends if they can put up with Stephen or not. They send them away for a few weeks and say, all right, we need somebody to warm up, come back.
Stephen headlines, I think, in these places that they've done this with Great White. But this is seriously in an arena. And so Great White's their own band with the kid singer. And then Jack Russell's thing is his own thing with his name on the band. And I don't know if it's health reasons or why he's not showing. That's an interesting thing to talk about.
I believe he's having issues with his voice. Let me look this up real quickly here.
There must be some reason like that, yeah.
Which is a shame, but, you know, we're all getting older and the voice is the hardest thing. Stephen Piercy has had the same problems, and Bon Jovi and all that. That's why Iommi doing a solo thing is easier on guitar, right?
Yeah.
You just need a singer to fill in. But and that could be the same for Phil Mogg, but yeah, I don't know what Jack's problem is. You know, he's had drug issues over the years, and he lived a life. He's had a great time, I think.
Yeah, maybe it's just health reasons.
Maybe he's taking over in Bon Jovi, and Bon Jovi's retiring.
That's funny.
What the fuck? So
you mentioned Vixen. Did they get a new singer? Are they going to be able to do the show?
I don't know. I don't like that band much. I think they're kind of boring. I don't know not much about them.
It'd be kind of interesting, though, to go and see them once live, don't you think? Just to see it? Yeah.
Yeah, I saw them on the boat.
Did? Okay. Yeah. So that's probably enough for you.
And they've been out here in the area for opening support acts in Southern California. I've seen them a few times enough to like, okay, whatever. They don't thrill me.
Yeah, me neither.
Personal opinion.
This is crazy.
Okay. I don't know the history of Vixen and the singers and the guitar. I know there was a fight between them and whatever, and somebody died. It's all sad.
Yeah. They had that lady in that documentary they did on Hulu, you know, on the, I don't know if it was all focused on LA bands, but I Want to Rock documentary or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, I've personally never been a fan either. This is crazy.
I don't even know if the show sold out. I'll look online to see how the ticket sales went for them at some point. But unfortunately, I'm busy next Friday for the Great White return.
Oh, shit. I can't find the set list. All right. So on Blabbermouth, they're saying that it's health reasons. But it's also saying that that they did not only Great White, they did some Dio songs, and they did some Bullet Boys songs.
Bullet Boys, wow.
Andrew goes, what do you guys know? Can you play a G here and a D there? Yeah. We'll put this together.
Oh. That's funny.
He comes off as a nice guy on stage. He's got a lot of energy. He seems to be well liked, and he fills in well for other people. And that's sad, though, to be in the Great White thing, and then Jack probably thought bad of that, and here he is doing his own thing. That's just, it must have been shows that they couldn't cancel, they would lose money, you know.
Yeah,
I assume.
I'm guessing that's the case as well. So, okay, cool. So we've been hearing this for a few months now. We've heard Slash say this. We've now hearing Duff McKagan saying it. New Guns N' Roses material. Suppose they're going to work on it. Dan, I think I've posed this question to you already before. Does that excite you?
If they edited it right, it can excite me. I've gone back to Chinese Democracy a few times, and it's like I hear things, and it's like, if you would just edit it this way, this could be better. If you could fix that voice this way, it could be. So I always have hope. I don't expect much to come of it, but yes. I don't think it's, you know, the new songs that they've come here and there have been hit and miss. Right. So,
Is it hard to live up to expectations of what they've done before, Jeremy, regardless of what they release?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, the debut album was just amazing. And, you know, maybe the couple that came after that, User Illusions, were also pretty good albums. And then, you know, they seem to have had a real nosedive. It's a strange, they're a strange band to me because they seem to have released very little material that's any good. You know, just a small amount for such a huge band. You know, if you think about all the big bands around that have released all these great albums over the years, Guns N' Roses haven't done that. And I just think that the very latest stuff that they've released has been goddamn awful to me. I would never go back and listen to any of it. I mean, it's just nothing that would play, you know, on repeat. Really don't like it. So they'd have to really up the game. But I do agree with Chinese Democracy. I think there were some great songs on there, and I think they were just so overproduced. I mean, they took so long to bring that album out, didn't they? And you know, there were some cracking songs on there. So if they were, you know, they just spent much less time on that producing it, they'd have been fine.
You don't hear that often. If you just didn't tweak it so much, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeremy, tell us the truth.
So I'm not really.
Tell us the truth. You play Hard School every single day on repeat.
No, I don't. And that's the honest truth. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty awful, all this late stuff they've been bringing out. I really don't like it at all. But then I don't really like a lot of the Motley Crue stuff that they're coming out with. And you know, some of these bands, they just need to go back to what they did in the first place. Same with Def Leppard. Just go back to doing what you did really well in the first place. And it'd be great.
Mm-hmm. For Def Leppard, getting back to them, I think it would be the hardest. Because all the guys that wrote those first few albums are no longer in the band. So I was going to mention this before and I completely dropped the ball on it, but they just did a private show for Sirius XM. They did 10 or 12 songs. So they did Rock Rock Till You Drop, Photograph, Too Late nice. For Love, Die Hard the Hunter.
Nice.
Kick. They debuted a new song live, Just Like 73. Then they went back. They did Fooling, nice. Billy's Got a Gun,
nice.
Coming Under Fire.
Ooh, wow.
Rock of Ages.
All right.
And they ended it with Hysteria and Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Mm. And they almost did all of Pyromania except for Action Not Words.
Stage Fright.
Stage Fright, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But man, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah. They're a great live act, but they're just, you know, just on the latest stuff. But just to round that off, I mean, there's one band that are really doing it, and that Judas Priest, their latest album is like their early stuff.
Yes,
so
sir.
It shows you. It's a fantastic album.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're stomping on all these other bands with that new record.
That's a discussion that we will possibly have in the coming weeks or days, where discussing bands' latter catalog and comparing. So, I didn't ask you, Ed. New Guns N' Roses, does that excite you?
I do have a comment. that I think that I would be interested if they fired Axel and asked Brian Johnson to do the vocals. Then I'd be a buyer on vinyl, even.
Well, Slash did have Brian Johnson
on. He did, and it sounded pretty damn good. Yeah.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
That would be interesting, because now there's a definite connection between both bands for on various levels. Would you be satisfied with a Brian Johnson, Axl Rose duet?
No, I don't want to hear Axl at all.
Okay.
Him or Eddie Vedder, I turn them off as quickly as I hear them.
Not a fan of the Euro. All right. My next point here. Ghost is about to release a film called Right Here, Right Now. Ghost has probably been, I mean, let's be honest, post Slipknot, probably the biggest band in hard rock and metal that's come along in a very long time. And I'm saying post Slipknot, that's 20 some odd years. Is Ghost big enough to go out and do a theatrical release? I mean, I think of Metallica doing Through the Never, and that being considered a bomb, and Metallica's possibly the hugest rock band in the last 20 some odd years as well. How's Ghost going to fare in a theater, and is this something that you would be interested in seeing? Jeremy, what about you?
Yeah, I guess I probably would be interested in seeing it, because, you know, it takes a lot to get me out to the cinema these days. So, you know, I'd like to go out and see something metal related, or at least as close to it as possible. So, yeah, I guess I'd probably be quite interested and intrigued to see it. But whether it's any good, we'll wait and see. That's the, you know, that's the thing, really. I much prefer them to be doing more new music, because I really liked the last album. I thought it was great. And we all, I think you in particular liked it, like me, you know, we reviewed it quite highly. So,
right.
I prefer that, but if they're going to do a film, yeah, I'd give it a go. Why not?
Okay. Ed, your opinion on this?
No, I'm not a fan of them at all.
Okay.
I don't know anything. I mean, I've listened to this, you know, videos that you posted, and yeah, it's just not my thing.
Okay.
But you know, good for them that they're doing that well.
Okay. Dan, Ghost movie, Right Here, Right Now. Will Dan be right here, right now, seeing Ghost?
I paid twice to see Metallica Through the Never in IMAX, so I'm a paying customer of Metallica. I did the symphony. I paid for that. I took my wife, and she was bored. Yeah. And I, when movies were hard up, and so I did that. This, no, I don't think I have time for it. But you're asking the wrong person. I'm not a fan of Ghost. I never got into it. And I know I'm a minority on that, and that's fine, but this isn't for me. I'm surprised, and I'm glad you brought it up as a bullet point.
Okay. Yeah.
How about you?
I think Ghost is a very polarizing band. You either love them or you just don't get them. I mean, does it make sense for them to put something out like this? Sure, because they are a theatric band. They have, you know, they create various storylines for each one of their releases, so it makes sense. I think it's cool that they do this. Because I do think that the advent of the internet has kind of killed that whole specialness to the VHS tape that the band released, and you got that glimpse of, you know, 10 minutes behind the scenes, or, you know, when that went over to DVD. Now with social media, you see that shit all the time. So it's really
not
big of a deal. So I think it's kind of cool that with a band like Ghost, where they are selling, they're trying to sell you know, the ghouls and Papa and this and that, that if you have a backstory that you can sell along with it, sure. You know, why not? Why not check it out? In the next room over, I have, I don't know how many VHS tapes. And I remember as a kid wanting to get them or going to the video store and dubbing them and, you know, wanting to see that behind the scenes stuff that we never saw because I didn't go to a lot of shows, you know, so I just got to see what MTV showed us. So, oh my God, you know, I'm seeing them backstage say stupid shit. And then we wanted to imitate all that dumb stuff without really knowing what we were talking about. You know, it was one of those things. So, yeah, I think it's kind of cool that they do this. And if it gets other bands to take a chance on doing this stuff again and properly release stuff like this, why not? Give it a shot.
So, yeah.
I'm intrigued by, I'm going to get to how the ghost comes into this, how Rammstein, they grew up, they started from a small thing and they got to be this big show. If they had not banked on that and tried that, how they may have never gotten to be as big as they are. So on that same thing, like Ghost, you got to reach for it. You got to put it out there and you got to try. And maybe it takes you to the next level, which maybe Priest failed to do and maybe other bands did. At least put some money into it and try, you know?
Yeah. I think the problem, though, is that there are too many bands that are just content, you know, and they'll just do the social media thing and say, okay, we've done enough. We don't need to do more. But any of the bands that have staying power and that have gone the distance, they've had to spend money. They've had to put time into it. It just hasn't happened via happenstance. You know, even as much as we shit on Def Leppard, as much as I shit on Def Leppard, early on, they toured their asses off. They did a lot of stuff with videos. They did a lot of, you know, different things with books and magazines and things that other bands weren't doing. They were willing to go out of their way to provide their fans with things that other bands just weren't doing. For as much as people crap on Metallica, I will always come back to them because they were willing to let people record their shows. They were willing to let people exchange tapes. They were willing to do a lot of different things that other bands just didn't want to do. When they did Live Shit, Binge, and Purge, they didn't give a damn that the guitars were out of tune in certain spots or that you could hear guitars pop. They just wanted to be an authentic band. And through all the drama and through everything else, I think that's lost on a lot of people. There's a reason why a lot of these bands became as big as they did. And it's because they wanted to reach for it, as Dan is saying.
Rammstein reached for it. You know, now you think of them, you think of big stadium shows. They can't do it anything smaller anymore. And now it's multiple nights. And, you know, it's almost like EDC, you know, the thing that happens in Vegas and wherever else. And it's just a big thing. And you think of that. Rammstein is not going to play little club shows anymore. So for Ghost to try this, push yourself up. See what happens. If you got it, you got it. You know, you got the tunes.
So you're not banking to see Rammstein at Vamps anytime soon.
I don't want to. No, I think I want that big experience for that band. Yeah. They make it happen. Yeah.
Okay. The other thing that we've been hearing rumblings about, and I've been wanting to eagerly hear this as well, Kerry King recently released a solo album called From Hell I Rise. Our native Slayer fan, the biggest Slayer fan that I know, Mr. Ed Ferguson, you waited until the album came out to be able to,
I did,
beginning to end, to give it the car test as well.
Yeah, and I got really nerdy with it too. I listened to one new track a day, and what I did here, I might start doing with other new albums because it's so hard to listen to a whole album and stay into the whole thing. And then by the time I had listened to that third song or fourth song, I was adding a song, but only listening to those three tracks.
Okay.
So that I could kind of dig into that part of the record for a while. So, yeah, I got pretty nerdy about it, and I had fun. So I started off ready to be very critical of it.
Okay.
And so I started playing it. You know, the first track is a intro called Diabolo, and it was disappointing. You know, when you listen to the kind of intros that they did in Slayer, those were really cool-ass intros, like the God Hates Us All intro, Disciple, right before Disciple, mm-hmm. you know, Hell Awaits, or even if they just start the record off slamming you in the face. This intro sounded like a leftover overkill riff from 85 or something. And it, he has a little kind of guitar solo with a little wah on there, just nothing exciting. So I was getting a little depressed. But then the next track kicks in and it's a total thrasher. And my first thought was, this is going to sound like Death Angel. And it starts off sounding like Death Angel. You're kind of getting ready to hear Mark sing, and the vocals kick in, and my first thought was, man, this kind of sounds like I wish Death Angel would sound on their next album. You know, cause their records are always good, but the last couple they put out have been a little bit too much of the same thing, a little bit dull. And that would be one great way for Death Angel to kick it up a notch. You know, if they told Mark to add a little more aggression to his vocals like that, mm-hmm. that'd be kind of cool to hear. But, you know, the more you listen to it, the more you're hearing the Slayer sounds, you know, the Kerry King character. And that, and after about a minute of hearing that first song, I was getting the goosebumps. So that was a good thing. I don't get those often. So that first song is one of the best tracks on there. So you're hoping that the rest of the record's going to have something good to offer. So the second song gets kind of slow, and, you know, and I'm ready to criticize all those slower songs. And, it, you know, I didn't like it as much, but then the next one's a thrasher, and then it kind of goes back to another kind of heavy metal song. And then it's kind of a thrasher. So he's kind of mixing it up. It's kind of half and half. And what I found was even with those slower tracks, even though I didn't like them at first, I ended up finding those riffs stuck in my head at the end of the day and at night, playing them over and over again and going back to those tracks and listening to them again. And but yeah, he's got, let me get my list here of songs. They have a slower song called Tension, which does exactly what the title says. It's kind of slow, but it's building a lot of tension to the best song on the record, which is like a minute and a half long, Everything I Hate About You. Oh, man, it's actually a song. There's a couple of songs on here that makes you think, man, I wish Tom was doing vocals on there. And that second song, Residue, the slower track after Where I Reign, that would have been a good song to hear Phil and Zelmo sing on. So it would have been kind of cool if he did a Tony Iommi kind of thing to where he had some different vocalists on different tracks. But I mean, the Slayer fans should like it. You'll hear God Hates Us All sounds a lot, especially in the choruses.
Yep.
You'll hear some stuff from Christ Delusion. There's a section that sounds a lot like Cult. There's another track on there that people, if you're a fan of Undisputed Attitude, you'll like Two Fist, I think it is. It sounds like one of the slower hardcore songs. Shrapnel has a really cool, groovy riff. It's got like more groove than you usually hear in a Slayer tune, almost like Dimebag kind of helped them with the riff or something. So I've been loving this album, actually. I'm liking it a lot more than I thought I would. I read some reviews before it came out, and a lot of the reviews were giving it like, you know, 2.5 stars. You know, I wouldn't really call it a 4-star record, but I think they're rating it too low. maybe a 3.5 for me, something between 3.5 and 4-star. I think it's good. And I'm still listening to it every morning. It's kind of like a good cup of coffee for me right now. And the one negative thing I have is in that song, Crucifixation, is one of the dumbest lines I've ever read him write, where he says, I know why God has never won, because I'm the fucking smoking gun. What the hell is that? I mean, I listen to a lot of anti-religious records or songs, even though I'm a man of faith. But that was just like, it's so stupid, it almost ruins the song for me. But the song is such a great thrasher. I still love it. Good stuff. So I think Slayer fans should like this. I like it better than Repentless, because I don't like the tone of the guitars on Repentless. There's something different about it. It's almost like Terry didn't EQ it right on the board when he did that record. So even though Repentless has some of my favorite Slayer tunes, I like the sound of this record a lot better. And I also think, too, that you remember a few months ago when we did our 1986 show and we talked about Rain and Blood, and then Jeremy was kind enough to check out some Slayer the next day. I think he was telling me I'm going to listen to some Rain and Blood here for a bit. I think that, Jeremy, you would like this record better than most Slayer records, because it's got, you know, it's not just Slayer from beginning to end. He's got some good heavy metal tunes in there.
I've got it on now. I'm just listening to Tension. I've got Tension on now in my left ear. You got it on. And it sounds good.
Yeah. And you have to listen to the next song with Tension, because Tension builds up to what you're going to get hit in the face with on the next song.
Yeah, I'm going to give this a listen because of what you said about it, really. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And it's also, it's fun because it's one of those records that is continuing to grow on me. The more I listen to it, the more I keep wanting to go back and listen to it again. Mm. So I started off wanting to be super critical. I skip over the intro. You know, if you're someone buying tracks, don't waste your 99 cents on the intro. It's just not, there's nothing exciting about it. They should have just left that off. You know, it's funny too, because my first thought about that intro was, man, this sounds like an afterthought, like, oh yeah, we were supposed to write an intro and they threw something together. But then Kerry said that he spent the pandemic developing that intro. So he spent all kinds of time. He seemed pretty happy about it, but well, they should have just left that off and slammed us in the face with that Where I Reign track.
That's I guess where they miss Jeff Henneman.
Yes, they do. And I'm available for hire, Kerry, just like for the Sphere guys, if you want my commentary on your next record. You know, with my help, this could have been over a 4-star record, I guess is what I'm saying. So
you brought
up... But he did a good first job, yeah.
Okay. So he brought up the Phil Anselmo, because for years they talked about the fact that Phil was probably going to be the singer. And it just didn't work out that way. And when talking about singers to Revolver, he said, for instance, if Judas Priest Rob Halford calls me and says, hey, I would love to be your singer, I'd have to go that way.
Yeah.
Let's see. He's saying, Anselmo was considered. My management, my promoter, my record label all wanted Phil. Phil's a good friend of mine, but I always thought he's not the right guy. That he's that has nothing to do with his ability. I just knew he wasn't the right guy. When you hear Mark on this record, you know that's the guy. I had to do due diligence, because at the end of the day, had Phil been the guy, we'd be in arenas immediately, because we could play new stuff. We could play Pantera. We could play Slayer, and fans would have been happy. It ended when the Pantera thing came up. So
also people, you would like these guitar solos better than you would in most Slayer songs. You know, if you're not a big Slayer fan, And there, I mean, some of the solos I get really impressed by, and I start thinking that must not be Carey playing there. I'm going to have to dig in sometime to find out which ones he's playing or not. Because they actually put some good thought into their guitar solos.
And that's interesting because Phil is a ridiculous guitarist who's played with a lot of different people.
Yeah.
Carey isn't really known for his soloing behind his... his whammy style or lack thereof, with the standard Fender tremolo. He's never really, I mean, I guess probably back in the day he had a Floyd Rose, but he really didn't do much beyond what the Fender tremolo provided him. So, yeah, I'll have to.
But anyway, I like it enough that I think I'll buy a vinyl copy of it.
Okay.
I want to hear it on the big stereo in here.
Okay.
Yeah, upon my first listen, I was outside working, and it just kept building and building, and I kept saying, damn! I was shouting out loud and probably a fool was watching me. I was totally into it. Everything I Hate About You, this is so good. I like Idle Hands a lot. It gucks back and forth. There is a song that kind of slows down, and I kind of threw away, but it just picked right back up again. It delivered. And that was on
one first of the songs. One of the songs they kind of do the opposite, where they do a thrasher and then they slow it down and have some kind of Black Sabbath-y riff, which at first I didn't like. But again, I ended up, you know, singing in my head over and over again. And actually, it's a good tune. I'm sorry, Dan, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, you're fine. It's just on the first listen, it already caught me. You know, sometimes you listen to an album and you're like, oh, I'm not sure. But this is a re-listenable album. This is a go back to, gonna, you know, listen more than one time. This is one to keep, you know. I've purchased the latest Overkill. I didn't really think much of it. But this Carey King, I can listen to it multiple times. I've got it ready. It's good.
That makes me happy to hear, Dan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So there you go. Jeremy, this is one neither one of us listened to in May. But it further feeds what I said in the fact that May was a monstrous month for new releases. And again, it adds to the point that there were a lot of different new releases, a lot of different styles that came into play. It wasn't all kind of samey. I think May 2024 could go down as the strongest month musically out of the year. Not saying that the best album came out, but I'm saying that overall, week after week, there was a lot of good stuff that was there. So cool. Glad that the two of you have been able to share your points with us. I'm definitely going to check this album out this weekend.
Yeah, I hope I didn't talk too much there. I could have gone on a little further, but
no, works for me.
Nah, it delivers. You know, I don't want to say angry, but it'll get you pumped up. It's not a sit quietly album. Mark is just on it with the vocals. I'm so pleased that Carey has him in the band. What a great choice!
Wow,
yeah. It delivers, man. Hell yeah,
yeah, yeah. And I hope Mark will carry some of that back to Death Angel. That would be a good little, you know, spice to add to their music.
Death Angel's going to be, Wasp is on tour in the U.S. coming here at the end of the year. But the dates that Death Angel are not supporting them across the U.S. are in my area. Really, fuckers?
That's so.
You're ready to see Blackie in a chair?
I did that last time with Armored Saint opening up and... I don't know what the condition, it's at the Palladium in Los Angeles in Hollywood, which is a destination for me. It's a little bit of a pain in the ass, but I've been there. I know what's involved to go out to Palladium. I don't think I'm going though. Not with Death Angel, especially not on the bill, but I'm glad to have Wasp back. I did check it out and I was happy to see him. I had waited a long time for him to come back. Okay. So go if you can, but yeah, Death Angel's on support with them. All but LA.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you guys joining me tonight. As usual, the hour has flown by quicker than expected, and a lot of cool things that we got to talk about. Discussion on the Kerry King album is definitely the cherry on top and definitely gives me some homework to do this weekend.
So glad you liked it.
Yeah, I do appreciate you guys talking it up. On that note, I do want to thank you guys again for joining me and anyone that watches or listens to the replay of this. And we will be back next week with an interesting turn of events, with Jeremy kind of playing the role of host and me playing the host, the part of guest. So,
yeah,
I think it'll be a cool listen for most people. And the week after that, we have a really cool discussion. Ed was the catalyst on this one, was talking about the Sphere out in Las Vegas and where we see that going and what bands we'd like to see play that. So that's a really awesome discussion that also has Ed, Metal Dan, and Brad joining me. So yeah, we're going to be recording some stuff during the week, this following week, and we'll be making sure that this summer will be full of Signals from Mars. So thanks again, guys, and we will see y'all next time right here on Signals from Mars. See you, folks.
Subscribe to the show on all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and more. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.